Okay. So, story mode and adventures. Just talked about that. Okay, so the next thing that I want to talk about is strikes. And you're going to know where I'm going with this because it's exactly where I've just been going. Fortunately, we already have heroic strikes, right? Which is great. We already have Nightfalls, which is fantastic. And that's really kind of what I'm basing like the rest of my ideas on. It's like, hey, these already exist. They're already good. So what I would say is keep that. That's fantastic. Give us the opportunity to play any strike anytime we want to, specifically. Don't matchmake those when we choose a specific one. Just send us in solo or with our fire team. And when we choose a specific strike, give us the option to go down that checklist of modifiers and check the ones we want to run the score up. Or to take it easy, if that's the mood that we're in. So, you know, again, just take that same list that I read through earlier. You know, heck, people hated Trickle when it was forced on them. But if me the choice to double my score or triple my score by choosing Trickle, I might do it and I might have fun doing it. Because then you've given us the agency. We're the masters of our own fate. And if we're like, my fate is going to be hardcore, then awesome, right? Nobody's going to be mad about that. And if you don't want to do it, if you're like, no, Trickle still sucks, then you don't have to play with it. And no one is harmed. You know, obviously, the downside is you might be less hardcore and you might not get as many points, but, that is like the worst thing that happens is that maybe you don't place on top of the leaderboard for that strike. Like that's what you've lost.
which is not that much,
you know, it's a fictional bragging right in a fictional universe. So, it's awesome to have, but again, if you're like, that's not for me, then you haven't lost anything. So I think it makes it more fun. I would like to see strike specific loot, also get turned up to 11. Cause it really isn't motivating to chase any of the strike specific loot. So that's too bad. Other than that, I wouldn't say make any particular changes to strikes. I like where they've gone with them. I just want to have the option to play a specific strike if that's what I'm after. And I want the option to choose modifiers that are fun for me. Again, if that's the mood that I'm in. I'll still go and run the playlist. And if you want to give me extra rewards for running the playlist, then I'm okay with that. Because what I'm looking at in the freely chosen single run of that strike with the modifiers I choose, I'm not looking for bonus loot. That's not what I'm trying to get. When I'm doing that, I'm looking for a good time, whatever that means to me, and B, the other thing I might be looking for is running up a high score. Those are the rewards. The reward is not the loot in that case. But if I want the loot, then I'm going to run the heroic strike. I'm going to run the Nightfall. And that, again, is going to be just like what I suggested for meditations, just like what I suggested for cash grabs, still sticking with it. It's going to be a curated, challenging version of that strike. Like I said, they've already done that pretty well. So that is strikes. Less said there. So hopefully I didn't, say anything totally crazy.
Well, I think people are getting the hang of it now at this point in time. You're basically providing more options, more ways to track score, you know, more freedom to play the way you as a player want to play. Because like you said, when you are forced to do something, it's not very much fun. Take Halo Skulls, for example. And we use this when we talked about the points-based metagame, which they actually ended up implementing something very similar to it. But
yeah, they did.
You know, the points-based metagame in Halo was totally optional. It was totally optional. The only thing you got from it was sometimes you would unlock some armor and sometimes you'd get an achievement for it. But you could voluntarily make your game significantly more difficult to play for an increase in points if you so chose. But the reason why it was so much fun is because you never had to do it if you didn't want to. People hate being told they have to do something. It's part of the reason why the subclass customization isn't very fun. Because you're told you have to pick these three perks if you want this one. People don't like it.
Yeah.
So anytime you give a player more freedom within limits, you give a player too much freedom, shit gets overwhelming, it can go downhill. But within limits, as long as you give a player more freedom, it's almost always a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you know, along those lines, obviously I listed off like 15 possible modifiers that they could put into this game. I don't think that anybody probably, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe people do want to see this. Maybe you, when you select a mission, you want to see 15 possible modifiers you can check off. I'm thinking they probably want to aim for a shorter list, and that's why I suggest that maybe it could be a rotating list even. You know, they could say, okay, here are the 6 modifiers available this week.
I mean, I think that's the UI designer's job. Yeah. You can put a ton of information on a screen if your UI designer can do a good job of, yep, you know, relaying it to the player. So
we had 20 odd perks to select for subclasses in Destiny 1, and it was never confusing for me. So I feel like it's possible to do, if they want to do it. So that's if they want to do it. So I want to take this though even a little bit further, because we've left out a really important portion of the PvE experience, and that is the raids and the raid layers. And something I have always dreamed of, and I say always meaning since like the second year that I was playing Destiny. So for like, you know, 2.5 years, I've dreamed this. I would love to see raids have these PvE modifiers. I want to go and play a Voidburn raid. Maybe it's friggin' impossible. I don't know. Maybe it's super easy. The only way to find out is to do it. And again, I want to see high scores in raids. I want to see all of those things I've been talking about. You know, we already have, obviously, the unique loot. I'd love to see that loot get a little amped up. Maybe get some bonus PvE perks like we used to see. You know, that's something I think they realized in Destiny 1 that we loved, and I think maybe they had taken it out of Destiny 2 to a certain extent, as far as getting that bonus perk that just makes you good at the raid. Like, I like that. As long as it's a bonus perk and not replacing a good perk. That's the caveat. But what I really want from the gameplay, though, is to see these elements that are already in the game that allow us to turn the experience up, available in raids as an optional modifier. Now, again, I would say you probably need to beat the raid as it was designed originally before you get the option to do this. You know, we don't want newbies going in to an epic raid or something, or to a trickle raid. That sounds like a disaster waiting to happen. But if everyone in the party has played and beaten the raid once on normal, then at that point, I say fire team leader, you know, do your worst. And I think that would make raids so much more exciting to watch on Twitch. And that, I guess, goes for everything that I've described so far. I think suddenly you would watch people play story missions on Twitch because they would be playing some crazy combination of modifiers that makes it exciting. They would be doing something. You'd be like, oh, man, I need to go and play this. And I think that would do the same thing for raids. I think it would take raids that we've all seen, and I think it would make them exciting and interesting. Maybe you've got extra enemies. Suddenly, maybe some of these enemies have shields who didn't used to, and you have to change your strategy. Suddenly, the players who have got the raid down to a science have to work a little harder again. It gives them an opportunity, again, to turn it up, to challenge themselves again. In something that they've already mastered. It gives them a new level of mastery to attain, and I think that's what people want from raids. They want the raid to be crazy hard, and then they want to beat it. And I think if you give people the opportunity to choose their own destiny here...
Ah, but I'm...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I opened with cash crabs. We're only going downhill. I think they will, and I think they'll have fun doing it. And I think that these scores, of course, again, the high scores should be modified by those choices. And if somebody goes in and beats the raid with Trickle on, then all I can say is mad respect, because that would have to be like the hardest raid.
Seriously brutal.
That you would ever run. So that's what I'm thinking for raids again. Not fancy. It's already pretty good as is. I just want to see them take the stuff that they've already put all this work into and let us go nuts with it.
I mean, you think if it's already in the game, why not use it in as many avenues as possible? And I mean, really, I don't think what you're asking for is even that much. They seemingly pretty quickly were able to modify Heroic Strikes and Nightfalls to have these various perks and things like that in them. And I don't think it's too much to ask for these things to be even slowly, you know, ladled out to the remaining PvE activities. Because PvE is one of those encounters that you don't really have to worry about it being broken.
Yeah.
You can pretty much just fuck around with the encounter, and it is what it is. You know, because nobody really gets hurt. Now, yeah, if you make it too easy, it's not going to capture people's attention. If you make it too hard, it's going to drive people away. But unlike PvP, nobody gets hurt if something is broken.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you make it very, very clear that, like, whoops, we broke something, we're going to fix it. If anything, it'll make people more excited to play it for that week while it's broken. You know?
It's true. It does, you know, when people know something is about to be fixed, they make time to get on and have fun with it. We saw this all the time in Destiny 1. I definitely did some Voidwalker flying while I had the opportunity, you know? You have to, and it makes you play more, and it's fun, and it creates a memory like the one that I have now, that makes you nostalgic for the game, and that is good for business. You know, yeah. That's why the Destiny 2 fan base is desperate for the game to be better. People are losing their minds wanting to see more out of Destiny 2 because they have this nostalgia for Destiny 1, a game that only came out like. What has it been, 4 years?
Not even 4 years.
A game that is younger than my child, they have nostalgia for. so that, I mean, that's crazy. But they captured something, and, you know, I hope that they take full advantage of that. And you know, invite the community in to have fun with it. And one of the things that I want to mention, because you mentioned making things too easy, and that is a risk of my suggestion, right? People might find a way to game this system of modifiers to make raids really easy. And so what you do is, if you're playing a modified raid, maybe the loot drops are changed, you know? Or maybe they're not, because, again, does it really hurt anybody to give people raid weapons? I don't know. I don't think it does, especially if you've already required that they beat it once on normal. At that point, they're playing for fun. You know, so I don't think it hurts anybody, but if you feel like it does, if Bungie feels like it hurts people to give that loot away too easily, and I say easily with air quotes, then they could change the loot pool based on the difficulty modifiers you set for yourself. Maybe you're more likely to get good drops if you turn it up, and you're less likely if you turn it down.
Well, I think that's probably what they would do. I think that's probably what they would do, because you're not going to want to make it too easy, because then you're just going to have people setting it to the very easiest difficulty and running it just to farm loot.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to be making loot more difficult to come by in the near future. At least I believe that's something they're going to look forward to. So I think what they would do is, if you make it more difficult for yourself with the modifiers, the loot just stays the same. You know, or they could do it like they do the Nightfall, where you have to run it once to do it for each week. Like, you have to run it once in the week to unlock the modifiers, so you already get basically the loot, and sure, then you can run it every time after that. Or they can make it to where if you change the modifiers at all, you don't get any loot. It's just for score. All it is for score,
which I think people would still do.
Oh yeah, because it's about the score.
Yeah,
I mean, people farm the Nightfall over and over and over and over and over again. It's not really for the loot; it's for the score.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that obviously encourages people to go out and play. One of the things, and obviously Bungie has kind of implemented a sort of a version of this with the Nightfalls already. I'm aware of that. I'm not, like, I don't have my head in a hole in the ground. The thing is, I don't like the way that they've done it, because I can't go and do it anytime I want to. You know, this is to a certain extent a convenience measure. I also don't like it because it's not applied universally. I want to see this all over the place. But I don't want to have to go and, like, play a story mission to unlock the ability to play that story mission with modifiers. That's inane. That's a waste of my time. If I want to play it with modifiers, just let me play it with modifiers. Like, that's, you know, I understand with the Nightfalls what they're doing, and I think they should keep the Nightfalls special. But I think they should take this you know, ability to apply these PvE mods, and I think they should just make it a thing that you can do for strikes anytime you want to. I don't think that should be about the Nightfall. I think that should be about the score. And then you can do it all the time. And, you know, obviously, like you said before, too, there are going to be glitches people will discover. You know, somebody will find a way to run the raid score up. Somebody will find a way to run story mode scores up. What this will do is it will also bring those glitches directly to the attention of Bungie, who can then turn around and fix them, or at the very least, share them with everyone if they're not going to fix them right away. And then it levels the playing field. Then it's not somebody secretly taking advantage of something. It's, well, they got us. They got us this time. We'll fix it in 2 weeks. In the meantime, have fun. Or it's, well, you got us, but we think this is cool, so we're not going to mess with it. Which is an attitude they have shown themselves to be open to lately.
At least more open than they were before.
Yeah, more open to than before. Now I've been talking for a while, and I still have a lot I want to say, so I'm gonna dive forward into PvP. And there's a couple of things that I'd like to see happen on the PvP side of things. Now, again, keep in mind here, I am not a competitive PvP player. I don't really want to screw with that. I don't want to say a whole lot about what the rules should be for competitive PvP. I leave that to the people who put the time in. But what I would like to see is I think some things that some skilled PvP players would also like to see, because I think these things would be fun for everyone. And so I'm going to talk about those things. And again, if you are, you know, a hardcore PvP player out there and you're like, God, you know, screw this guy, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You're right. I'm not a competitive PvP player. I never have been. But I think what I'm suggesting is pretty fundamental. It's pretty basic. And doesn't do anything to screw with anybody's life in Destiny. So,
well, just you watch. There will be those people out there who will very quickly let you know how much exactly you have screwed up everything that they know and love.
Somebody's gonna unfollow me, and that's fine. Somehow I'll go on. The first thing that I would do is I would restructure the Crucible playlists. Keeping in mind, though, of course, I know Bungie has recently expressed that one of the reasons they condensed the playlist down is because it's really important to them to maintain high connection speed. They just got chewed out constantly for connections in Destiny 1, and that's really not a discussion that I've seen very much of in Destiny 2.
No, it's much improved.
And part of the reason for that is because you can't just play control. Like, you can't have your cake and eat it too. It's the unfortunate truth. You can't have an enormous player population in your casual playlist and also have freedom of choice all the time. It's just, it is what it is. So here's how I would break them down. I know that there are going to be literally 250,000 opinions on how these should be broken down. So, you know, feel free to share yours. It's just as valuable as mine. And Bungie will do whatever they're going to do. What I would do is I would make a free-for-all only playlist. This would be Rumble only. But it wouldn't just be straight Rumble. I would love to see it cycle through variations on the Rumble game mode. So Classic Rumble, you know, Inferno Rumble with no radar, Supremacy Rumble, maybe King of the Hill mode in Rumble, which is something we haven't seen, but something I would love to see in this game. And this mode would be solo players only. So if you are solo queuing and you are just getting totally hosed, which is 100% the situation right now, now you have an option to have fun and not get, you know, just crapped on by every four man that you run across. The next playlist I would add is another casual playlist. I would add a Mayhem-only playlist. Clearly, they want Mayhem in the game. clearly a lot of people are having a lot of fun in it. I really don't get that into Mayhem in the Crucible. It's fun once in a while, but for the most part, I don't seek it out. And I'll probably skip it when it cycles through. But that said, I still think that there's some potential here. And the reason I would include it is because I would like to be into it. But I think it's a little basic right now. Like, you've turned all my abilities up, which is great, which is actually, in Destiny 2, is actually a lot more fun than it was in Destiny 1, where it was a little too crazy to really be fun, at least for me. What I would do is I would take Mayhem and I would make it not just a single modifier, but rotating modifiers applying to a rotating selection of quick play game modes. So that'd be Control, Clash, and Supremacy, but with the PvE mods I talked about before. And I think that would make it truly Mayhem. I think you would have total chaos reigning because you never know what's going to happen. You might end up in a control match with attrition. So enemies are now dropping healing orbs, but you don't actually have recovery. You might end up in a supremacy match with Voidburn, where, you know, crap is just going insane. Voidwalkers are, you know, main total waste. You know, Night Stalkers are like tethering people to death left and right. You know, you'd have some crazy stuff happen. I'd love to see Prism happen in PvP. And I think a Mayhem playlist would give you the opportunity to put that in and have it not break the game for everybody who doesn't want to experience that. And I think that kind of gives you the idea. But the last one I have to say out loud is tanks. I want a tank modifier in PvP. And I know that the maps literally like don't make that a possibility.
Can you imagine 4v4 tanks on Javelin 4? Everybody's stuck in the doorways. Nobody can move anywhere out of their initial spawns. It would still be worth it.
I mean, it's a for fun mode. Let us break the game, right? Like, that's, you know, I've realized that it's not a possibility, but gosh, it would be fun if it was. So that's what I have to say it, and that's what I would do for that. Then I would keep quick play as a playlist. I think we'd need a mode that would be team sizes would range 4v4 to 6v6 depending on connection and population. So you wouldn't get stuck waiting longer if you only had 8 players, but you could have up to 12. I think that would I think for casual play, that's the way that they really should go, is pushing us to 6v6, but not making us wait for it. I think that they should keep the basic game modes they have now. I know, you know, some people hate Supremacy. I like Supremacy, but it is what it is. Bungie clearly likes it, so people who hate it, too bad. I think that the focus also should be on trying to match teams against teams and solos against solos. But, you know, if we have a Rumble playlist, at the very least, people who are just having a bad time in solo can go somewhere else and still play the game. So it would not be as big a deal. And then I would replace competitive with ranked, which I think is what they're going to do. I don't know if ranks are going to apply to quick play as well. I kind of don't care about my rank in quick play, and I really hope that what I do in quick play doesn't affect it, because I do stupid crap in quick play all the time. And my KD is definitely suffered because of it. So anyway, I would have a ranked mode that would be the only place that you can get rank. And I would probably look at it as, you know, not making a whole lot of changes to the current competitive mode. Solo players, sorry, it's going to be a bad time. Quitters get banned. You know, it's you don't set aside the time, you don't get a play. You know, maybe that's a 30-minute timeout, whatever Bungie feels is fair. As long as there's a punishment. I'd like to see some tweaks, and, you know, maybe this is something that you could probably offer some insight into. And I know there are a lot of skilled and insightful PvP players who probably have some ideas on how to make the competitive modes more competitive. I think that here are my first thoughts, my initial thoughts as I kind of have pondered this. I think that survival is kind of a broken game mode. I don't think it's all that fun. I thought it was fun initially, but it got less and less fun over time as people learned how to play it. And now it's camping, the Crucible mode. And I think they should just take it down to one life, no revives. I think that would make it, you know, it would kind of capture the same feeling of having limited lives, but it would take it to an extreme. And I think it would make it a lot more dramatic.
Make it dramatic, that's for sure.
So that's, you know, just a thought. I think that Countdown, for the most part, has worked when I've played it. I don't think the game type has broken down that I've seen. Obviously, your mileage may vary. You might have more mileage than me, and you might feel differently. And then one thing I would really like to see as a competitive game mode, and I say this as somebody who likes to watch really skilled players play competitive Destiny, I would like to see either a King of the Hill or a Capture the Flag game mode in ranked play, where really good players are playing it, because that is so exciting to play, and it's so exciting to watch people play those types of game modes. That forces people to make plays. It does not allow you to camp. You can't camp Capture the Flag. It doesn't work like that. You can camp King of the Hill, but you're going to get pushed from all directions. I feel like those are game modes that make competitive play really exciting. I would love to watch them. I would love to play them, even if I was getting my ass kicked. So that's what I would do in ranked. In Trials and Iron Banner, I would enable the power curve, because they don't make sense without a power curve to me. They don't make sense in the story of the game. Like, Iron Banner is supposed to be the, like, you know, Saladin coming out and saying, hey, Crucible's, like, for people who are kind of tough, I guess. But if you want to play real, like, if you want to really train, come play Iron Banner. Like, this is where the hardcore players hang out. That's kind of, you know, him trying to kind of one-up the Crucible. And it's not happening in Destiny 2. I don't feel motivated to play it. I don't feel motivated to push my light or my power level higher to play it. I don't care. And then Trials, again, it's the same thing. I don't feel motivated to push my power level higher to be successful in it. I feel like I can go in with whatever the heck I want, anytime I want to. And play it. And I think that is not really...
It doesn't feel right.
Like what Trials is supposed to be about. It's, you know, you've got this character. And I love what they did with the character, the Emissary. She is awesome. She's so, like, you know, evocative as a character, you know. Maybe a little melodramatic for some people at times, but I love it. Unfortunately, Trials just doesn't live up to the character for me. So I would turn it up. And then obviously we're going to get private matches, so, you know, I can check that one off the wish list. But one thing I really hope they include, and you guessed it, is some PvE style modifiers. I want to be able to, you know, double the grenade recharge rate in my private match. I want to be able to turn off recovery, you know, make it an attrition or a momentum match. I want to play a solar private match, because why the heck not? It's a private match. Let me do what I want. You know, these are things that I would like to see to make private matches, like, super fun and super worth experimenting with on an ongoing basis for months or years. So that's the Crucible. I tried to keep it short and to the point. What do you think?
I definitely agree with the light level stuff. No? Okay. I mean, probably trying to put PvE perks in Iron Banner would probably destroy that.
And that was my initial suggestion. I've backed off that. I took your note.
I think that would, because people want to play Iron Banner, and if you put perks in it, you're forcing them to play with perks. Because Iron Banner offers rewards and level up things and stuff like that, so I would not do that.
Yeah, I would say put that into a mayhem list for the people who want it.
Yeah, I would definitely, let light level matter again in Iron Banner and Trials. It blows my mind that it doesn't it, like I said, and we talked about this a while back, but the only reason I rated after I'd done it the first couple of times or after I'd done it for the record books was to get my light level up to play Iron Banner in Trials.
Yeah.
And I knew a lot of players who hated PvP who played Iron Banner in Trials so they could raid. You know, it gave you multiple avenues to level up, and now just nobody cares.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just so totally disappointing. I like the idea of increasing the playlist. I know that especially right now with how low the population is, like you need the bare minimum number of playlists because we're barely like scraping the bottom of the barrel in terms of how many players we have. So I understand they want to keep the playlist low, but I really do think that honestly, they could just make Rumble, Mayhem, Quick Play, and Competitive, the four playlists.
Yeah.
And then on the weekends have Trials, and once a month have Iron Banner.
Yeah.
I think they could do with four playlists and it'd be fine, but I would probably not have the mods be random. I would probably have the mods change daily for Mayhem.
Sure.
Because that way you can actually like start testing out like really fun combinations. And you can run a combination, or even maybe weekly, like they did on the heroics. You know, so you can like really get into some cool combinations in Mayhem, and like really start to have fun and experiment with it.
Yeah,
And then next week it swaps out to something else.
And I think that's a fantastic point. You know, because you do want to know what it is going in to a certain extent, so you can kind of prepare for it, and so you can opt out. And that's a big thing that you know. With these changes I'm suggesting, I want to always leave the door open that if somebody's like, hey, that's not my cup of tea, they can opt out and they can still play the game and have fun and not you know, have lost anything for it. But somebody could also opt in and gain something. And that's a fantastic note for, you know, that would be a Mayhem mode with a weekly rotating set of like two modifiers would be... even if it was just one, like every, like, oh, this week it's Void Burn in Mayhem, you know, this week it's just straight up Mayhem, you know, whatever it is, that would be a good time. And I think it would make it more interesting than it is now. So that's kind of what I would do as far as the gameplay goes. I had a couple other things I wanted to run through real quick. And, since I've already stolen your ears this long, I'm just gonna roll through it. So I mentioned before I got into the gameplay suggestions that I wanted to talk about ships. This is where I'm gonna talk about loot a little bit. And I think that ships have pretty much always been kind of boring. They were in Destiny 1, they were kind of a bragging right if you had the raid ships or the trial ship or what have you. But that was really like, those were the only ships that you really cared about. And we talked about this last week too, with your suggestion, Mercules. We've got like a dozen variations on any given one ship model. We don't need, you know, 17 different ship models that are identical. What we need are ships that are exciting and meaningful. And I don't know if they can really, you know, I don't know what they're going to do as far as the pool of available ships. My suggestion here is assuming that they've taken your note and said, okay, we're only going to have, you know, 20 total ships in the game, but they're going to be more interesting. They're going to have, you know, unique names or paint schemes that you can get. And so your drops are still valuable because they're adding to the short list of ships that you have. What I'd like to do is take it a step further and make ships valuable to the game. I'd like them to have a gameplay effect. And I have a suggestion. Now, this suggestion, I want to say up front so that there's no misunderstanding, is a PvE-only suggestion. I don't think it's very workable in PvP at present. I've only spent about a week or so thinking on it, so I might have missed something. I'm hoping that maybe the folks listening might say, oh, this is how it could work in PvP without breaking the entire game. Which every thought I've had has been like, nope, that would break the game. So here's my idea. I would add an additional mod slot onto ships called resupply mods. So, you know, obviously we've already got transmet effects, which affect the way that you spawn into the game. And so I'm playing off of that. Resupply mods also trigger when you spawn, but they're mods that reward you for spending time in an activity without dying. So when you initially spawn into an activity, you don't get anything out of them. You haven't spent any time in it. But if you spend time playing that activity and you later die and then respawn, you're going to get essentially a boost, a little like, hey, you survived 10 minutes, here's some extra power ammo. And so the way this would work is it adds that effect when you respawn, and that effect might be, say, plus 5% power ammo per minute in activity since last spawn. It might be an overshield that lasts for 1 second or 2 seconds per minute in the activity since your last spawn, up to a limit, you know, so maybe it caps at 30 seconds. It might be invisibility that worked like that. It might be a boost to your grenade energy or your melee energy or your class ability energy. It might even be a bump to your super energy based on your time, maybe a plus 5% bump to super energy since your last spawn up to 100%. It might be faster ability energy charge. It might even be things that help you farm a little bit. You might get a glimmer or a rep token bonus based on the time that you've been alive. It might also be bonus damage against specific enemies. You know, so maybe you're running around in the EDZ and you get killed during a public event and you respawn with a 25% damage bonus against the Cabal. And hopefully it's a Cabal public event and you can go get your vengeance. These are all just kind of ideas. A lot of them are, at this point, wildly unbalanced. I recognize that fully. But what I'm saying is I'd like to see the ships affect the game. And because they already affect the way you spawn in, it kind of spoke to me like, hey, there's an opportunity to add something here where you actually get a benefit. Now, I acknowledge that there's the potential for some unforeseen consequences or even abuse with perks like this. Certainly, players could take turns suiciding at the end of a strike to refill their power ammo or their super. But on the other hand, they could also sit around waiting so they could do that. Or they could hoard their ammo so they could do that. Which are both unfun things to do. This is just a fun way to do what players already want to do. So that's kind of my counter argument. The other thing that I would say is that I really would feel like a lot of these perks that I'm suggesting should work the way that ghost perks do. They should be location or activity specific. So these might only work in patrol on Nessus. You know, maybe, and that could be themed to the ship, or it could just be, you know, the random mods. And so you're like, oh, I'm going to make a Nessus ship. And so this ship has, you know, when I die, I get bonus grenade energy up to, you know, a full charge based on how long I've stayed alive on Nessus in patrol. And I don't think that's broken, you know? I think the more power you give somebody to be awesome in patrol, the better. Because patrol's, like, it's not, for the most part, difficult anyway. It's supposed to just kind of be a fun, casual way to enjoy the game. And I think adding more power is not a thing that's going to hurt that fantasy. You know, so I recognize that this is a little bit unbalanced. It's a little bit limited, but I think it's a way to bring ships into the game. And I think that the brilliant minds at Bungie, who have a lot more experience designing video games than I do, could probably see some opportunities in an idea like this to take ships and to make them a little bit more than a loading screen, which has always been, for me, one of the greatest disappointments of Destiny. It's a small thing, but I just want a little bit more going on that loading screen. I want it to matter a little bit more than as a cosmetic item. So that's a thought.
It's I think you are correct that it would probably end up finding some way to be exploited. I like the idea of having ships affect farming, probably most of all.
Yeah.
Like when, so an idea I had while you were thinking about that is like, okay, so you fly in, and for your first life on patrol, you get double glimmer or something like that.
Sure.
And then there's a cooldown after you die. There's like a 10-minute cooldown, so that, you know, you don't just go back to orbit and come back down.
Yeah.
Or for your first life on patrol, you can detect caches within 100 meters. Something like that. Like something crazy. I like the idea of the ships immediately after you see the ship, of it benefiting you in your farming way. Because like, I could see being invisible breaking raid encounters. I can see an overshield breaking some encounters. And like
100%.
Encounters that you don't really want to break because they're end game. But you're only ever flying down at the very beginning of activities.
Yeah.
And you're trying to convince people to stay alive for that life as long as they can.
Yeah.
And take advantage of it. And then simultaneously with a cooldown, you're not going to have people quitting to immediately go back to orbit as soon as they die once, because it doesn't really matter. There's a cooldown for 10 minutes or something like that. So I see that as being, I like the idea of ships affecting something. But you know, I still would hesitate to break things willy nilly just because, although it might be fun, as soon as someone figures out a way to abuse it,
yeah,
it quickly becomes not very much fun. And then you have everybody doing that. Everybody, you know, LFG sites, you must have certain ship with certain role so that all six people can kill themselves and be invisible for the start of a raid encounter. And then,
oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So it's just, I worry about things like that because I know that Bungie, I don't know if they test with like the actual community's ideas in mind. Like the community doesn't give a shit about the way stuff is supposed to be played or about fairness. They care about the absolute easiest way to do something.
Oh.
If the easiest way to win trials is be, four Night Stalkers, then they're going to be four Night Stalkers. Like they don't care that that's not the most fun team layout. They're going to be four Night Stalkers and all four of them are going to run Gemini Jester.
Yeah.
And if the easiest way to beat a hard mode raid is to push someone off a map with grenades, they're going to push them off the map with grenades. So that's all gaming communities. It's not our gaming community. It's not, one particular one. It's all of them. That's the way gaming communities work, because most people find the easiest way to do something. That's probably one of Destiny's fatal flaws, is that because it doesn't make you go back and forth between different activities to get rewards, most people find the one easiest way to do it, mm-hmm. do it until they have every reward, and then they're burnt out.
Yeah.
And they leave. Speaking of raids, this was something I've been thinking about recently. I've been thinking about, I know the reason why Bungie doesn't have matchmaking in raids. It's because they're worried that if you get matchmade into a raid group, you're going to have such a bad experience that it's going to make you not want to try to form your own group to raid. Now, I disagree with that, because I think more than likely what would happen is someone would try to matchmake with a group. It wouldn't go successfully, but they would have such a cool time that they would then go out and try to find their own raid group to go raid. I'm the optimist there. I think Bungie's the pessimist. But I don't see putting matchmaking in as being a negative. However, I realize that matchmaking would not work for a raid. Not for a full raid. It's too much of a time commitment. It's just plain and simple, way too difficult. Only 1 out of 100 raid groups that were matchmade would probably finish a raid. And even then, not so much. If I had raid matchmaking, I would set a hard limit on the light level. You have to be a certain light level.
Mm-hmm.
I would not allow... I don't know. There's like... You have to worry about there being a vote to kick system. Because I can just totally see a fire team of 5 going in, getting this dude all the way through the raid, and then kicking his ass like at the very last minute. And I guess they can do that anyways just by forming a party. But that would just be so traumatizing to an individual. But those things I would figure out once the raid system went live. Maybe not have a vote to kick system initially. But the way I thought about raid matchmaking that would work is you do this. The raid is already broken up into encounters. You would have matchmaking for each individual encounter. So you would start your matchmaking for the week, and it would matchmake you into the first encounter with 5 other players who are working on that first encounter. Once you beat that encounter, it would give you a menu and it would say, do you wish to continue? Yes or no. The people who say no drop out. Matchmaking searches for other people who are searching for the second encounter, and it puts them into that group. If you say yes, you sit there and you wait until it match makes you with however many people it needs, and then you do the second encounter. Say you say no after the second counter, you don't have time to do the third encounter, you leave. When you come back later on in that week, meaning the week the reset hasn't happened yet, and you go to matchmake, it matchmakes you for the third encounter, where you left off. So it's like a checkpoint system in the raid, and it just matchmakes you into whatever encounter your last checkpoint was at.
Sure.
And you would obviously be able to hold down X to reset it, and you would start back over at the beginning. But that way, you could break the raid up into doable chunks. And you wouldn't have to worry about people dropping out midway through the raid. Because people, after every single encounter, they would be given the opportunity to leave, and it would give the opportunity for more people who are looking for that encounter to come in.
Yeah.
So you'd matchmake the first encounter, then you leave. Come back later in the week, matchmake the second encounter. Maybe you do the third encounter that night too, you leave. Come back right before reset, matchmake the last encounter. Knock it out. I just think it'd be a really great way to avoid a lot of the pitfalls that matchmaking could have on a raid. And at that point in time too, you don't feel like you're giving up everything if someone is griefing you and you just quit.
Yeah.
Because all you're doing is you're going back to that same encounter that you were on. Just matchmake into another group.
And that's I think a reason why checkpoints, I really love the checkpoint system in Destiny 1. I don't, there was not a problem with the checkpoint system. I never understood, why Prison of Elders didn't have one. I really felt like there should have been some kind of a system that allowed you to pick up where you left off. I agree. I agree that something like that could work. There are probably flaws that we're not seeing, but there are already flaws with the system. So at least looking at something like that in playtest is something I would love to hear that Bungie has done. And maybe they tried it and it's broken for X reason, and we just don't know that because we haven't played it. But I think that's the kind of thing that I would love to see discussed in This Week at Bungie. When there are ideas like raid matchmaking that are a huge deal in the community, and then they're just like, the developers never come out and say, hey, we looked at that, it breaks down for this reason and this reason. And whether you agree with our reasons or not, this is why we aren't doing it. And at the very least, then you have an answer. It doesn't have to get dragged out for months and months on end. It's like, maybe you disagree with them, but at the very least, they considered it and, had a reason for going another way. I think we miss out on that sometimes with Bungie, and I think they're trying to do better, which is nice. I'm gonna seize the reins back here. Though we kind of got off onto a raid tangent, I wanna get through this in under 2 hours. Did I already miss that? I already missed that, didn't I?
We're at 140 right now, so.
Okay. Real quick, two things left. Story. I love the exotic quest lines. I've always loved the exotic quest lines in Destiny. I think that it's an awesome way to get a weapon and to make it mean something. Like I worked really hard for Thorn in Destiny 1, and I felt like I deserved it. So, I don't feel that way about a lot of guns in Destiny 2. I don't feel that way about almost any gun in Destiny 2. But the other thing that's awesome about quest lines like that is they also shed light on the history and the story of the Destiny universe, which is something that we need more of. I think we can all agree on that. Even people who aren't super into story kind of would like a little more story. And Destiny 2's done a better job, I think, in some ways than Destiny 1, but it's also done a worse job in other ways. You talked about that before in terms of, having access to like a library of lore. Like, that would be awesome. And there's so much that kind of is not accessible and is locked away. And that's, it's good there are fan sites that preserve a lot of stuff, because otherwise it would be gone forever. And that makes me kind of sad. One thing that makes me sad about exotic weapons specifically is that there are not in-game playable stories for all of them. There should be something that tells me why this matters, aside from like the lore tab. And the lore tabs are fine. I don't have a problem with the lore tabs. I'm not complaining about them. Please don't take them away. But I want to do something in the game to get that weapon, or I want to get that weapon and then do something specific with it that acknowledges its place in the universe. Obviously we've already got quests for some weapons. It would be a little bit tough, I think, at this point to retroactively add quests to get other guns that people already have. And then the people who already have them, you know, do they just play them and get nothing? I mean, maybe. But I think what they could do is they could take a lot of the stuff that's already in the game, the stuff that they're working on balancing right now, which I'm really excited about, because a lot of exotics are a little bit worthless right now. So it's good that they're going to take a look at that. But a lot of these pieces kind of have some evocative lore. They have an evocative name and a look. And they kind of leave a lot of questions. And I would really like those questions to be answered. I'd like to get, you know, Skyburner's Oath. And then Ghost is like, hey, Zavala wants to talk to you. And Zavala's like saying, hey, you know, you've recovered this piece of Cabal technology. We need to know more about their weapons systems. Go out and do this weapons test. Then you have to take it and you have to go and do some mission with it. And it's just a one-time thing in an area that already exists. It adds, you know, I know it adds some voice stuff, and I know that isn't free, and it can't always be done fast. But I feel like if they planned this all out and they just had, you know, okay, here are all the lines we need for the weapons that we have, I don't think it would take an enormous allocation of resources, and I think it would add a lot of story and lore to the weapons that are in the game, and would make those weapons matter a little bit more. You know, even if it's just, you know, if they could find some way to put in some generic text or some generic lines about field testing the weapons, and then just put text in the game explaining the story for those of us who actually read all of that stuff. And you know, and then it's like, okay, hey, I've recovered this golden age technology, and then I just nobody cares. The Vanguard doesn't care, and I just go about killing people with it. You know, like, okay, why doesn't the Vanguard care?
Yeah, you think they would.
You know, you find Crimson, and it's like, according to the Vanguard, this weapon doesn't exist, and so they just don't acknowledge that you have it. Like, that's the one time it makes sense.
They're like wearing it directly in front of their face, and they're just like, meh. It is what it is.
Yeah. Why are you unarmed, Guardian? Like, yeah, you know, there's no acknowledgement of so many of these exotic weapons in the rest of the game. And I'd love to see them acknowledged. You know, and if that could just be, it could even be just Ghost talking. If they just want to pay one voice actor, that's fine. However they want to do it. I just want to see some story that ties into the loot. Because the story that's tied into the loot, I think, ties into my character. If I'm using a weapon that has a story behind it, it adds some immersion. I love that, and so I'd like to see more of that. And just to reiterate a point that we've hammered home like three or four times in the last couple of weeks, all of the legendary guns in the game need to be tied to a location or an activity. I'm going to say it at the end because you said it at the beginning, and I want it to be remembered by everyone who hears this episode. It's so confusing. Like, why you get Scathelock everywhere? That gun shouldn't exist everywhere. It should not be on IO. I shouldn't find it there unless I brought it there myself. And that's all I'm going to say about it, because we've already hit that one. I just had to kick the horse one more time before I walked away. Grant.
I mean, they kind of screwed that up. I know why they did it. They did it because they didn't want to force people to play things they didn't want to play to get weapons. But the fact of the matter is that was part of the beauty of Destiny. It forced you to leave your comfort zone. It forced you to not just do the easiest activities. It forced you to not just farm public events. It made you play things you wouldn't normally play. And for most people, as long as the grind wasn't too brutal, that equated to fun. It gave them more things to do. It gave them more to experience. It gave them more to grind. And when you remove that, you remove the necessity of experiencing the majority of the game. And instead, they max one activity and they get bored of shit and they leave. That was one of the biggest mistakes that I think they made early on in the game. I'm working on some concepts now that just show how different it would be if every vendor in the game functioned like their D1 counterpart. where they sold a collection of weapons that was specific to them, that you could only get from them. The Nessus, you know, vendor has some weapons. The EDZ, I mean, there are literally EDZ Foundry guns now. That's a new Foundry that we got. Devrim K and the EDZ Survivors, they have a Foundry. Lincoln Green, you know, Call to Serve, all those weapons that look like Thistle and You, Pariah, Scathelock, all those weapons that look like the old AK-47s and stuff like that, they're from the EDZ Foundry. It's a new Foundry. And yet, I am picking those weapons up on Titan for, like, no reason at all. Or on Io. Even though I'm supposed to be the first person besides, like, Kate or whatever to be, or besides Akora to be on Io, why am I picking up EDZ weapons there? Why am I picking up gunsmith weapons on Io?
Yeah.
The gunsmith weapons should come from the gunsmith. That was his only thing that he was useful for in D1. I mean, it just, it was such a horrible mistake for me, and I saw so much potential there. And at this point in time, I mean, it's not quite too late, but man, they need to hop on that and do that before the next big expansion, or else it's just going to be another deluge of legendary weapons that mean nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, it's all reiteration, but I want to know where to go to get something specific. If I'm looking there, the quest lines are great for that. If I want a gun from a quest, I know where to go to get it. But if I'm looking for another specific weapon, there's no way for me to increase my odds of getting it. And if they want to leave stuff available everywhere, at least tune the tables, like make it more likely that I will get Nessus stuff on Nessus and not anything else. And maybe 1 in 100 then I get Scathelock.
I mean, I wouldn't even have it do that if I'm being honest. I would make it exclusive. Like if I want that gun, gotta go to Nessus. It's the only way you're gonna get it. You know?
That's what I want too, truth be told.
And you know, and there could be some weapons that you can find like around the world. Because like if you remember in D1, there were some pieces of armor that only came from Ingrams. Like it was an Ingram armor piece. That's what it was. Got it from Ingrams.
Yeah.
And I'm totally fine with that, but they should be designed for that to be, for them to be what they are. Like, there are some weapons that very clearly look like they should come from Nessus. They have the Nessus paint scheme on them. Like they have Nessus shaders as their default shaders. There are some weapons that very clearly come from Titan. There are some weapons that very clearly come from Io. There are some weapons that very clearly come from the EDZ. And it doesn't have to be a full set of weapons from each location. You know, it could be all the EDZ weapons from EDZ, and that's great. They've got a full foundry. Maybe just 2 or 3 weapons at Io. Maybe like 1 at Nessus. Maybe like, you know, 4 at Titan or something like that. But just some weapons that only come from that location. Crunch all the gunsmith weapons back into the gunsmith. That's where you get them from. Every time you level up the gunsmith, you got a chance at a gunsmith gun. He sells a rotating stock weekly.
Yeah.
That's what he does. That's what he does. It's the only place you get those freaking weapons is from the gunsmith. Stop bombarding us. You know, every Crucible match you finish, you get a legendary weapon and 2 rares. It's literally annoying me how much I get. Because I play 6 or 7 matches and I have to go back to the tower and delete 15 things out of my freaking postmaster.
Yeah.
It is so incredibly annoying to be deluged that legendaries don't even feel... Legendaries feel more worthless to me in Destiny 2 than uncommons felt to me in Destiny 1. Because in uncommon, there were actually 2 or 3 uncommons that were really good with certain rules. That Xerxes C.
Mm-hmm.
With I don't even remember what it was. It was with a certain barrel perk and like focused fire or something like that. That could kill in like 2 headshots. It was amazing. Like, I actually cared about the uncommon drops I was getting because one of them might be super cool. I'm literally annoyed I'm getting so many legendary and rare drops in Destiny 2. That is not a good sign.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I get their reaction. People were mad about winning a Crucible match, you know, being the top player and getting no loot. And I think that there are ways for them to make sure that you get something every match without giving you so much that you literally can't play for an hour straight without filling up your postmaster. Again, it's all about the happy medium. I have 2 big problems with the way that you get just like this massive loot pool everywhere. Like, one, obviously, I've already said it, I don't know where to go to get stuff. But 2, like, you know, it breaks immersion. Like you said, EDZ has a foundry, so there should be a ton of EDZ guns on Earth and really very little to nothing of anything else. You know, I would assume, again, you know, that that on Nessus, I'm only going to see weapons that kind of make sense for the storyline on Nessus. You know, weapons from the Exodus Black. You know, I should be seeing some Golden Age style tech, some, you know, some stuff that kind of fits the color schemes or the palette there. And the same carries through for the other locations. You know, I should only see weapons of that style there, and I don't, and it breaks the immersion for me. And I realize that I'm playing a video game, and I can, you know, you can only get so into it, but like I really enjoy kind of sinking into that character, into the Guardian. And when I'm wandering around Mercury and I find Scathelock again, and I'm just like,
but why?
Who keeps dropping these? Like, what is Devrim K's distribution platform? How is he getting these everywhere? I don't know.
He's got to be a very rich man at this point in time. He's apparently better than every other foundry we've got.
Is he descended from Bezos? Like, is he rolling these out through Amazon? What's going on here? He's got to have free shipping across the solar system. It's the only explanation.
Eververse Prime.
Yeah, Eververse Prime. Coming to your console in 2019. You're welcome. You're welcome. And that, I think, is a great place to call it. Before we stretch into a third hour, I blame myself. So that's it, then. Thanks for listening, Guardians. Be sure to check us out on DestinyMassiveBreakdowns.com, at Mercules904, at KYT_KUTCHA on Twitter. And at Destiny MVP, of course, the podcast Twitter feed. So,
yep. All right. Later, Guardians.
Peace.